Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak, and today is Friday, December the 1st. We've got a great show for you. So let's kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the start of a new day. Father, as we begin a new month, we ask you to guide us, to protect us, and to help us as we face the challenges of life today. Father, we ask you to speak through us today on the radio program. May all that we say reflect your message for us. And we ask all of our minds and hearts to be open to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've got a great show for you today. Coming up, we'll be joined by Jeannie Ewing, the author of From Grief to Grace. She's going to be talking about some of the challenges of dealing with grief during the Christmas season. This is a very real problem, and I'm glad Jeannie's able to come on to discuss that. Also, the Catholic Hipster will be here. Tommy Tighe, the founder of CatholicHipster.com and the author of the Catholic Hipster Handbook, will be here. It is December the 1st today.
It is.
We are about
to... We were talking right before we came on just about how it's already December 1st, how like rushed it is.
That's right.
Oh, it is.
That's right. Yeah. We're about to begin Advent on Sunday, so the next time you hear us, we will be in Advent. And by the way, for any of you who are wondering, when will we start to play some of the music of this season? Mm-hmm. Stick around today, because I think you're going to be very happy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I saw some statistic. It was on secular media, but a poll, like 23 or 24% of people think it's way too early, for music, for Christmas music. Out in the stores, out and about
right.
and stuff, maybe secular media, radio stations. And that means 75%, give or take, are okay with it. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm thinking?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I think there is this Christmas creep that happens, mm-hmm. and like you see stores, some stores start changing over as early as August to putting in Christmas stuff,
yeah.
and then you have a lot of new stations that actually change to all Christmas music in early November.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So it those types of things I think are way too early.
Mm-hmm. It varies. Yes.
And I think that's the thing that kind of drives us a little bit crazy. But obviously, we're right before Advent. Now's the time.
Yeah, and we want to get excited about welcoming Jesus. And I think one of the mistakes that we often make is to either focus strictly on the secular aspect of this holiday. There's a lot of good stuff going on, but mm-hmm. we want to remember the birth of the Lord. And the other mistake we make is to just focus on the fact that he was born 2,000 years ago, mm-hmm. so what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Advent is the season for us to grow closer to him so we can welcome him more deeply into our hearts. I mean, it's a real thing. We want to work on that this Advent.
Exactly. I mean, secular world thinks, well, it's just a historic event. Yeah,
right.
so let's go on about our business
exactly.
and get frenzied about all this. No, but we believe, start mm-hmm. of Advent, and Jesus is with us now. We're celebrating here in the here and now. We're waiting with an anticipation, his birth.
We may say the secular world views it that way. Yeah. I would actually take a twist it another way. I think the secular world is wanting Jesus and Christmas in many ways. If you think about it, the secular world is, that's where Christmas music's being played in early November. that's where these things are given.
That is a good point.
I actually think that there might be a reverse that's going on that we don't even realize, mm-hmm. is that there's a desire in many ways for it. Yes, they may think about it for gifts and think about it for other things, but you know what? Even with that, even with Christmas music that may be popular in secular world, a lot of it still has terrific messages.
Yeah. I don't want to lambaste secular media in toto.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that you can look at it another way. I think there's ways we can look at it, that there's a desire for Christmas to be in people's hearts.
It's almost subliminal.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. And I was going to say,
And we may view it as an opening and as an opportunity.
I was just going to say
point.
That. And as a we can be countercultural, right?
That's right.
And Frank brings up a really good point. I think everyone, this is an absolutely true fact, everyone who's seeking happiness is really seeking the Lord, even though they might not realize it.
That's
there
right.
is something very special about the Christmas season for many people, and what they are seeking, they might not even realize that they're seeking a closer relationship to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that a lot of times in our world, people start to hear words, and or they don't hear the words. They don't hear things that are said. They hear what they want to hear, and or sometimes what they don't want to hear. If I want to be against something, I wind up hearing that and say, see, I'm right. Or you're picking on me, or whatever that is the case. And I think that if we step back and took a deeper look at things, and we took a deeper listening to things, deeper what people are talking about when they are talking about Christmas or when they are talking about this, there is a desire for faith. For whatever reason, they've gotten away from it. And we can help them find their way towards it. Mm-hmm. But it's all in the approach that you take. And I think that's the hardest part. Mm. I think, you know, many times our approach is judging them. And if, you know, I would say put yourself in their shoes a little bit. If you feel, you know, if you feel someone's attacking you, how will you respond? Will you respond with, oh, you must love me, or Jesus must love me, or whatever?
Right.
No, but if someone shows you love, what do? You show love right back.
Exactly.
And so we have to find ways to show that love. And that's really hard for people to do sometimes.
It is.
You know why? Because it may be questioning what I do or what I've been taught or what I've learned.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the season. We can bring people into this.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do here on the program. We are trying to bring souls closer to Christ.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it with love. Right. And that's the only way it's going to work. And that's what we do here. We don't deny the truth. We present the truth. The fullness of truth is in the Catholic faith. That's what we do. But we're here to do it with love, because, as you often say, Frank Eliasson, many times people are closer than they think in terms of their viewpoint. You know, we're so busy attacking one another, we don't listen to the other person.
I was just going to say that. I mean, the work has been done, and it's up to us, to basically bring the message to them.
Yeah,
that's right.
And
remind them of Jesus.
And the message of Jesus Christ was about love and mercy.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and we can concentrate on all kinds of other things, but ultimately it still comes down to that. There are other teachings that go along with it. But you know what? If you start with where Jesus came from, you'll probably win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast before we read today's gospel. Mm-hmm. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 45 degrees under fair skies. Today, sunny with a high near 55. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 36. And then Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 51. At the present time in North Wales, it's 37. In Buckingham, it's 41. And in Oxford, Pennsylvania, it is 41 degrees. All right, let's take a look at today's gospel. Now, we are nearing the end of the liturgical year, or the church year. As a matter of fact, it comes to a conclusion tomorrow, and then we begin the new church year with Advent. So the church wants us to focus on the fact that our time on earth is limited.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can easily forget that. So once again, Jesus is going to be very clear in the gospel today. Luke chapter 21, verses 29 through 33. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You know, again, our time on earth is limited. All we are guaranteed is the present moment. What are we going to do to grow closer to Christ at this moment and to help others grow closer to him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the challenge for each of us.
Exactly.
I think it's the challenge, but I think it's something we can, as we've discussed, we can all live up to. And I think the big piece to think about is, you know, when I look at when I go to Mass each Sunday, and you know, it seems like there's less and less people there. Right. You go on the holidays, there's loads of people, but you know, there's not as many people there. So Christmas Day, there'll be a lot. But how do we get these people to want to be there all the year? How do we get them to want to be a part of this? And I think there's ways we can easily bring them in. Instead of, like, you know, when they come in on Christmas Day, instead of being like, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
show them what great a place it is to be. And I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, real quick. Yesterday, I had the privilege and honor of reading at Daily Mass at St. Francis Cabrini. And all week, up until yesterday, because of the feast day, it was from Daniel. But yesterday was from Romans 10, 9 through 18. I would invite anybody to read that. And it's about, if I can say, brothers and sisters, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But then it goes on to, but how can they call him on him with whom they have not believed? So it's up to us, and it's all about communication, getting the word out.
Dave, keep reading that if you could.
Okay.
because there's something really powerful that's
And how
that.
Can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach?
Yeah.
And how can people preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news.
Absolutely. So it's up to us to tell people about Jesus, and more importantly, to show people Jesus, right? We can talk all we want.
That's right.
But unless we're showing them the love, nobody's going to listen to us.
That's right.
Nobody's going to listen if all we do is point fingers and accuse others.
Yeah.
And you know what? We are here to let you know that Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he wants you to grow closer.
Even with your faults.
Absolutely.
You know, we all have faults, and I think it's also admitting that we all have faults. And I think that's hard to do sometimes.
It is.
Our pride gets in the way.
It does.
A lot.
You know,
with me.
Whether it be the way we judge others, or maybe it's the way that we approach others, or our anger that we have, or any number of things. You know what? Jesus still does love you. Mm-hmm. And if you find that love in your heart, it will be very easy for you to show that to others.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Dave, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah,
that
I love
great
that.
Reading.
I mean, I just...
And a great reminder for us, and you talk about, St. Paul talks in that letter to the Romans, that those who preach the good news of Jesus Christ are called or are sent forth. Our church calls us, the Catholic Church calls us to evangelize, calls us
Amen,
to share
brother.
Jesus with others. All right, man, you got me fired up,
All right. Thanks for letting me read that.
When we come back, Jeannie Grace is going to be talking about how we can move from grief to Grace. Jeannie Ewing, I call her Jeannie Grace. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 1st. Today we celebrate Blessed Charles de Foucauld. Born into an aristocratic French family in 1858, Charles was orphaned at 6 and raised by his devout grandfather. As a teen, Charles rejected Catholicism and joined the army. He was sent to Algeria with his regiment, where he resigned his commission. Inspired by the Jews and Muslims he met in Africa, Charles resumed the practice of his faith upon returning to France in 1886. He first joined a Trappist monastery, transferred to one in Syria, and eventually left there to serve as gardener and sacristan for a Poor Clare monastery in Nazareth. In 1901, Charles went back to France and was ordained a priest. Returning to North Africa, Charles was invited by a former army comrade to live among the Tuareg people in Algeria. He learned their language well enough to compose a Tuareg French dictionary, write poetry, and translate the Gospels into Tuareg. The outbreak of World War I led to attacks on the French in Algeria. When the settlement where he lived was seized in a raid, Charles and two French soldiers visiting him were shot to death on December 1st, 1916. Charles was beatified in 2005.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before. Yes, the world behind me, the cross before.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was I Have Decided to Follow Jesus by Catherine Scott. I am Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. Well, we talked in the first segment that we are just about to begin Advent, and this is the entire Christmas season is a very happy time for many people, but not for everyone, especially if someone is dealing with the loss of a loved one or maybe dealing with loneliness, whatever it may be. It can be a sad and difficult time for some people. We are joined now by Jeannie Ewing. She's the author of From Grief to Grace, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to deal with grief during the holiday season. Hey, Jeannie, good morning.
Morning, Gary.
Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Let's talk a little bit about this idea of experiencing grief during the holiday season. It's a very real problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I would just say that I've noticed in conversations lately when I'm out and about or when I'm with family and friends that people tend to have kind of this sad nostalgia, like, oh, they'll remember a particular holiday with somebody who died, maybe a parent, or maybe they'll remember a specific tragedy that happened and they can't share that holiday with
right.
this person.
Right.
So it just kind of brings out it's kind of bittersweet is what it seems like to me.
Mm.
That people remember the good times and they miss them because things have changed.
Right, right. Jeannie, do you think that do you think that this grief that many people face, and again, I know people, I've dealt with this in my own life. I dealt with loneliness during the holiday season, I remember. Do you think it provides an opening to maybe grow closer to the Lord?
Absolutely do. I think, well, I've written about loneliness, and I also have a new book about waiting.
Mm.
And I think they kind of go hand in hand a little bit. But a lot of times God permits us to wait in this period of darkness or loneliness
mm-hmm.
because he is drawing us into a place of contemplation, a place of deeper love and union and prayer with him.
Okay.
And then sometimes after this period ends, he will then allow us to be in the midst of community again. Okay. And so loneliness actually provides an opportunity for us for solitude, which is very scarce in our society.
Right.
And it's really hard, I think, for most of us to discipline ourselves for that, especially this is like the busiest time of year in the secular world.
Right.
So, you know, again, Advent is that time of waiting. It affords us this opportunity to draw away from the world and deeper into the Lord's heart.
I'm sure that we have many listeners who are dealing with grief in many different forms now. What are some concrete things that we can do during this, especially during this Advent season, to help deal with that?
So I think you have to look at it from two ways. So one, if you know somebody that's dealing with grief, but you're not the one.
Right.
So when I was growing up, my parents always invited people to come to our house for Thanksgiving and Christmas who had nowhere to go. Sometimes this would be a homeless man that worked on our roof. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
Sometimes this would be a grown disabled man whose parents had died and he didn't have any other family.
Mm.
We always had different people around our table, and I think that made a huge impression on me growing up because I realized that sometimes we're called to be the ones to reach out in community so that people don't feel lonely, so that we can assuage their loneliness. So that's one thing.
Right.
If you are the person feeling lonely,
right,
well, there are a couple of things you can do. You can reach out to other people. You can also find ways to connect, maybe with the church. Maybe you can find other people that feel the way that you do. Maybe you can go out and volunteer to help at, maybe serve Christmas dinner at the homeless shelter. There are lots of opportunities, too, that you can kind of feel the sense that you're not alone. It's kind of ironic. When with all these different Advent activities, I think, too, if you are going to a family gathering and you still feel kind of like, oh, I'm estranged from my family, I don't really get along with them, I think it's really helpful to kind of prepare yourself ahead of time and know how you're going to react if your uncle gets drunk again, or how are you going to react if someone brings up that elephant in the room that really hurts you. And also, you know, you can commemorate someone who has died. Bring out those old pictures, those family albums. Talk about the good times. Remember the beautiful moments. Laugh together. I think it can be very healing when there's something that is a deep wound, maybe even in a family, that has caused estrangement.
Right.
It can be very healing to bring out those memories of the past, talk about them, bring them in the open, and it brings everybody together. So those are just some very quick general ideas.
And you bring up some really good points there. Jeannie, do you think it's a mistake to try to deny our sadness, our loneliness, our grief, and try to just go on and pretend that nothing went wrong or nothing happened?
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. So I was at a writer's retreat 2 years ago, and I was speaking with a woman who, only child, parents had died, not married, no children.
Mm.
And this is, I have a few friends like this.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, the word deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, she was trying to convince me, well, I don't mind being alone on Christmas and Thanksgiving, and I'm fine with that and everything. And in the course of our conversation, she admitted to me that maybe she was living in denial. Maybe she wasn't really acknowledging the sadness, the loneliness, the longing to be with a family,
right,
to be with others. And so I do think it's really important that we acknowledge the difficult emotions related to grief, whatever they may be, guilt, regret, fear, sorrow. That's the first step in healing.
Right, right. Because I think too many times we try to either ignore or change our feelings. We can't change the way we feel, correct?
Right. Right. So I think, you know, something that I learned when my daughter Sarah was born with a rare disease is there are a lot of ugly things I had to face about myself.
Wow.
And some of those things were jealousy. It was intense anger. These were things that I thought, oh, I'm a good person. You know, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good Catholic.
Right.
And yet I had to acknowledge that I suffer from the same disease as all other humans. I do suffer from the green-eyed monster, and I do get really mad to the point of being irate sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to look at that as it related to my grief and the journey of my grief, and not allow it to become sin, so not allow those things to fester. So as you and I are talking about the importance of acknowledging and admitting these difficult emotions, it's also important to deal with them in a healthy and holy way.
Mm, And you do such good work, and I'm so glad that we have you as a regular guest on the program, because in the world, we see, and I mean, I'm sure the intentions are good, but we watch some Christmas movies, we you know, we read some things, we look at Facebook, and we see a lot of almost artificially happy stories. And life isn't always that perfect. And I think sometimes if we get too caught up in the sentimentality of the season, of the Christmas season, we can lose sight of the fact that life can be really tough at times.
Yes, that's such a good point. Yeah, I think that the world kind of displays the holidays as being this time of laughter and togetherness, and everyone gets along, and you're all getting together for this beautiful feast, and it really overlooks the reality that I think most of us deal with. The majority of people know that that's not their reality, that maybe you know, they have a sister they haven't talked to in 30 years.
Right.
And so they're avoiding that family gathering. And so, again, you know, I think the holidays bring out all these things that the Lord wants us to look at. He wants us to look in the mirror and say, what are you calling me to do and deal with this Advent? Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's forgiving yourself for a fight that you had with a parent.
Wow.
Maybe it's healing from that regret that you had that divorce and now your whole family is broken. I mean, there's so many things that I think the Lord wants to draw to the surface, all of these parts of our woundedness and our brokenness, and He wants us to face them one by one in a gentle and merciful way through the sacraments, through prayer, and like I said earlier, through the solitude that Advent affords us. And then we will start to understand our journey of healing.
And we will also, and this is what I love about the supernatural peace of Jesus, we will also be able to experience His peace, which doesn't necessarily mean the complete absence of conflict in our lives.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the beautiful thing about the supernatural peace that the Lord gives us. He's not saying, you need to get rid of all your problems to feel my peace. He's saying, you need to cling to me in spite of what's going on in your life, and you can feel peace, right? I mean, that's a very comforting message.
It really is, and that's also the message of grief. So He doesn't always take away our cross, right? And
exactly.
He doesn't always take away that pain or that fear or that anxiety or that family conflict. We might have to live in the midst of the storm, but we can still maintain that interior calm when we walk with the Lord.
Wow. Wow. Gina Ewing, I want to thank you for joining us again on the program. Can you remind us where to find you online?
Sure. My website is lovealonecreates.com. And on my About Me page, I have all my books listed. I also have a new book, Waiting with Purpose.
Wonderful. Jeannie, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. I'm going to make sure to link that at spiritinthemorning.com. And have a blessed Advent. I look forward to talking to you next time. All right, Jeannie.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, God bless you, my friend. Jeannie Ewing, From Grief to Grace. When we come back, it's time for the Catholic Hipster, Tommy Tai. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Pope Francis is on day two of his visit to Bangladesh, celebrating Mass today in Dhaka. The Pope ordained 16 young Bangladeshi men to the priesthood. In his homily, the Holy Father encouraged the newly ordained. He said, quote, "Meditating on the law of the Lord, see that you believe what you read, that you teach what you believe, and that you practice what you teach," end quote. Also today, the Pope is scheduled to take part in an interfaith meeting, which will include members of the Rohingya Muslim minority. Yesterday, upon arriving in Bangladesh from Myanmar, the Pope called on the international community to help with that refugee crisis. In Washington, Senate Republicans were making major changes to their tax cut bill, including one that would roll back some of the tax cuts after 6 years to appease deficit hawks. GOP leaders were also struggling to placate Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who wanted an increase in the deduction for business income. They've increased the deduction from 17.4%, but Johnson said that is not enough. And as allegations of sexual misconduct against powerful lawmakers roil Congress, House Democrats are calling on Michigan Congressman John Conyers to resign. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi characterizes the multiple accusations against Conyers as, quote, serious, disappointing, and very credible, end quote. She says he should quit. In the Senate, meanwhile, a Senate ethics panel is opening a preliminary inquiry into allegations against Minnesota Senator Al Franken. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I want to tell you today about a very special thrift store located in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Mary's Thrift Store was dedicated to our Blessed Mother on its opening day, May 13, 2017, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. Mary's Thrift Store is located at the Wedgwood Shopping Center at 4327 West Lincoln Highway in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. All proceeds benefit the St. Joseph's House, a charitable nonprofit in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to serve families and children in need. Come shop in this well-stocked store of quality merchandise that will bless you and your budget from Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And also check out the mission of St. Joseph's House by visiting www.sjhouse.org.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Word of life, speak to my weary heart. Strengthen my broken parts. Lead me to your open arms. Word of truth, illuminate all these lies. The enemy speaks inside, and freedom I will rise. 'Cause you called me out from the grave, so I can live like I've been changed. There is a new song in my soul, and it begins when I breathe in your word of life.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Word of Life by Jeremy Camp. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:34. What is the Catholic hipster movement all about? Well, we are joined now by Tommy Tighe, who is the founder of CatholicHipster.com. Tommy has been gracious enough to wake up at 4:30 a.m. because he's on the West Coast to be with us on Spirit in the Morning. Hey, Tommy, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I got two sips of coffee in before you came on the line, too, so I'm ready.
Hey, brother, you are awesome. Thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Of course.
So what is the deal with the Catholic hipster? What is this movement all about?
Well, what we're trying to do is really point out that what our culture seems to be yearning for these days is the Catholic faith. Mm. And we're really trying to show people and kind of wave our flags over here that the Catholic are looking for. You know, every time you see a new article on some trendy website about the newest cool thing, it's like people are finding fasting or something like that as a means of, you know, achieving some sort of goal. And we're saying, hey, we have that over here, and we know really what you're supposed to attach fasting to. It's just an example. The Catholic Church is cool, and we want people to know about it.
Right, and I think, unfortunately, we often get branded as being completely uncool. But right, but what you're all about, and I love the Catholic Hipster Handbook, is that we're cooler than people realize.
That's right. You know, I think that we are one of the groups left that stands out apart from our culture. And as the culture keeps going in this direction that it's headed in, we're going to stand out more and more.
Right.
And I think that really people, when they see what we're standing out for, are going to realize that that's kind of what they're made for and what they're called for. And I'm really just so grateful to be Catholic because... Mm. We have such a great way of viewing the world, and as things seem to be getting worse and worse, we need that view more and more.
Right. Tommy, how do we get that message out there? What do we need to do to reach people and let them know it's cool to be Catholic?
Yeah, I think that we have to be able to kind of live our faith in a way that's not pushy, not proselytizing, as Pope Francis reminds us, but just kind of showing that we've got something that people want. You know, there's this joy that we have. There's this focus that we have. A reason for doing things. And I think when we are able to be kind of like public with that without trying to convert people outright, that people are going to be interested, and that kind of opens those conversations up to people.
Yeah, I think so many times we do ourselves a disservice when we try to convert people too overtly a manner. If we just really play into what they're looking for, we'll probably be a lot more successful.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, I think there's always a good time to crack open the Bible and start proof texting away for the perpetual virginity of Mary to people to bring them to the church. But also it's good to just show people that you can continue, you know, for example, going to work when your boss isn't treating you very well and still show this like purpose and this love of trying to serve God, even though conditions might be weird at work. And people would be like, wow, why are you doing that while everyone else is complaining? And something that simple could kind of be a great conversion moment.
Yeah, definitely. What's your own personal story? Have you always had a strong love of the Catholic faith, or is this something that you discovered along the way?
Well, so I was adopted at 3 weeks old into a Catholic family. My mom had two sisters who were nuns, and my dad was in the seminary, high school seminary, which it seems like everybody at that time went into the high school seminary that was a Catholic kid
true.
For some reason. So luckily they met up and they adopted me. We were doing like RCIA classes out of our living room. I was the altar server that lived across the street from the parish, so I got called all the time. But then I went to college, so I went to UC Santa Barbara, which is a pretty well-known party school out here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept going to Mass every week, but I slowly started drifting away from, you know, following and believing some of the things the church taught.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of drifted away, met my wife, got married, had our first kid. And around the time I had our first kid, actually, I found out about Catholic radio, didn't know it existed. And there was a moment on a radio show where somebody mentioned that in order to receive communion, you're supposed to be in communion with all the things the church taught. And that really brief statement on the radio completely shook me up, and my wife and I started reading some encyclicals that were pointed at some church teachings we didn't agree with, and we realized the church was right, and the dominoes all fell into place, and here we are now.
Wow, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can work through brief statements like that, you know, and I'm someone who was also had a major reversion through Catholic radio, so I can definitely relate to that. But it's amazing how if you're open to the Holy Spirit working in your life, He can do incredible things.
That's right. And even that brief statement, when I heard it, and I kind of thought of the one church teaching that I was like, you know, I really don't agree with this. I thought, well, I'll give it a run. I'll read what the Pope has to say about it, and then I'll realize I'm right, and we'll just continue on our merry way. And that, of course, as you know, since we're on the radio right now on Holy Spirit Radio, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I read the encyclical, and I was like, I showed my wife, I'm like, oh my God, you got to read this. The church is right.
Isn't that amazing? Even though you had the intention of proving that the church was wrong.
Exactly.
a complete opposite thing happened. So in the Catholic Hipster Handbook, Rediscovering Cool Saints, Forgotten Prayers, and Other Weird But Sacred Stuff, I love the book. Talk a little bit about the book in case our listeners want to pick up a copy.
Sure. So the book includes myself and a bunch of contributors because I'm not an author. And when I got an opportunity to write a book, I just reached out to as many people I knew to help me because I was terrified of trying to write a book. So it's broken down into little essays and sections. And we're talking about everything from adoration, confession, where is the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Bible, all these very deeply religious things, and also mixing in things like going to the farmer's market or going to a local craft brewery and kind of pointing out how all of these things have Catholic faith, you know, intertwined in them, and where can we find our God moments and all these things. So it's broken down into these essays. Each essay contains a subject, kind of like that, going to a craft brewery, for example,
mm-hmm.
and then talks about a saint that sometimes people probably have lost down through the ages, and a forgotten prayer that have definitely been lost through the ages from our 2,000-year tradition, and then an activity to kind of make something practical. We wanted to give people something to do, just because a lot of Catholic stuff that I read, it gets me like, yeah, I really am into this, but then now what do I do practically to kind of put this into my life? So every section has a practical task. Everything from visiting a Marian shrine,
right.
You know, to growing a beard.
And I love the style of the book. It's written in a cool style. And unfortunately, as Catholics, we often get branded as being stiff. And I think we're partially to blame for that sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
Right? I mean,
yeah, I think we need to lighten up a little bit. I think that we have to, and something we try and do in this book is recognize that some of the things that we do are weird.
Yeah.
To the culture at large. And I think, you know, for example, we have a section on relics and how we venerate relics. And to the culture at large, that must be a very bizarre thing. So I think it's okay to kind of embrace and acknowledge that something that we do might seem weird,
right.
while then showing why we find such value in these things to kind of help people have that click moment in their mind about, oh, wow, it's still maybe kind of weird, but I see why it's so powerful and important to you.
Exactly, because almost embracing the weirdness, right?
That's it.
A couple of the chapters in the book were written by you, and obviously we talked about Catholic radio already, and if people are listening, they are obviously people who listen to Catholic radio. So excluding that one, you also have a chapter on the rosary. Talk a little bit about the importance of the rosary in your life.
Oh, sure. So my mom had two sisters who became nuns. So we were pretty Catholic around our house. We had statues of Mary around, rosaries. We had a bowl of rosaries like at every corner that you could reach and grab.
Wow.
But still kind of as a kid, the rosary was boring to me because I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know about meditating on the mysteries so much. I just thought we were just going through all these prayers, so it never really clicked with me.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I was probably in my 20s, I would say maybe 26 or something, my mom unexpectedly passed away and, you know, went through all these feelings that you would go through with something like that, just anger and bitterness, and didn't want anybody to try and console me. I wasn't praying because I was so angry at God for letting something like this happen, was my way of thinking.
Wow.
And then when we went to the rosary the night before her funeral and just started praying it, I had this unimaginable peace just wash over me. I mean, I was so red-hot angry all this time.
Wow.
And then praying the rosary, I just felt like everything had been lifted off my shoulders. And I'd never felt that feeling before. And so for me, that was such a profound moment because in the midst of, you know, it's like I'm at a place that's really dark. I'm standing in front of my mother's casket and I feel peace and almost like happiness.
Whoa.
Which felt really, really bizarre in the moment. But from that time forward, the rosary became so important to me. It became this ability to kind of draw closer to Jesus, even in the darkest times. So that was a great experience, and I can only thank Mary for that one.
Yeah, and sometimes, Tommy, I think we forget that when we're praying a formal prayer, such as the rosary or novena or something, that it's not just us doing all the work, that this is a relationship, and we are in a relationship with another person, be it the Blessed Mother or our Lord, and they're doing work too.
That's right. Boy, right? They're doing most of the work.
Exactly.
I think we're just kind of coming to the table saying, okay, I'm here. And then they jump in and do everything else for us. So, yeah, I agree.
Exactly. But sometimes I fall into the trap of, okay, I've got to come up with just the perfect novena so that I feel better. But in reality, sometimes Lord help me is a really, really good prayer. And he does.
Most
he helps
definitely.
Me, right?
That's right.
And we can easily forget that. Tommy, let us know, if you could, where we can follow you online or maybe get a copy of the Catholic Hipster Handbook.
Oh, sure, yeah. The website is catholichipster.com.
Okay.
And then you can go, I'm active on Twitter. It's at the G-H is silent because my last name is T-I-G-H-E, but it's pronounced Ty. So the G-H is silent is the handle on Twitter. And the book is available, hopefully, at your local Catholic bookstore. It's available at some of the Daughters of St. Paul bookstores around the country. But you can also be like everybody else and go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I love that.
Yeah. It's there, too.
Absolutely. Because in the end, that's what most people end up doing.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I really want to thank you for waking up so early to be on the air with us. Now, are you able to get back to sleep, or do you just get an early start on the day?
No way. I've got three kids, so I'm going to go in and enjoy the peace and quiet. Because they're probably not going to wake up for another hour or so, and I'm just going to sit and enjoy nothing.
All right, my friend.
That's my goal.
Well, listen, brother, I really appreciate you being on the show, and I hope you'll be able to come on again with us sometime.
Most definitely. I hope you guys have a wonderful Advent.
Thanks, Tommy. You too. God bless you, my friend. That's Tommy Ty,
wow.
The Catholic Hipster Handbook.
Thanks, Tommy, for coming on.
It's about time we had somebody hip on this show,
exactly.
Parker.
Yeah, and you're looking at me. Frank's not here. Frank, where are you, brother?
That's right. That was a really good interview. And you know what? It is cool to be Catholic.
It is.
Sometimes we become overly stiff, and we don't need to be.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm looking at you when
yeah,
I'm
let's
saying
loosen
that.
Up, folks.
When we come back, we cool. have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Plus, if you're looking for some God Christmas music, stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The year that South Dakota farmer Brian Barber planted sunflowers, he thought his crop was doomed by alternating periods of rain and drought. As the earth cracked, he noticed that the sunflowers grew roots that wandered this way and that, until they found a crack in the soil. Barber wanted to devote more time to God and prayer. But as a farmer, he was either always busy or bone-tired, until he learned to look for the cracks in his day. In his case, while doing his farming duties, he began to meditate on the biblical parables that have to do with working the land. As a result, he said, he developed a connection with the biblical farmers and with the God that made the harvest bountiful. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from. Let us fight.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Come Thou Long Expected Jesus by Laura Starry. And yes, we are beginning on Sunday, the Advent season. I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse and then talk, just give a little very brief reflection for Advent. I'm going to do this throughout the Advent season. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse comes from John 3:16, one of the most popular Bible verses of all, but something that we need to think about as we enter into this season. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The message of Jesus Christ is you can have eternal life. What you need to do is follow me. And that's why he came to earth 2,000 years ago. And that's what we celebrate during the Advent season. Now, I have a brief reflection I want to share from a booklet called 1 Minute Reflections for Advent from Liguori Publications. And here's something to think about as we enter into this Advent season. During these peaceful and calm Advent days, there is mysterious presence felt in our prayers, of whom little is spoken. It is the subtle, mysterious, almost incomprehensible presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was assigned the work of the Incarnation. It was by his mighty power that the Son of God became incarnate in the Virgin Mary, the incarnation of God's Son, willed by the Father long before the ages began, and totally assented by the Son himself, is the particular and unique operation of the Holy Spirit. And who better than the Holy Spirit to help us grow closer to the Lord during the Advent season?
Amen.
It's right. Frank and Dave, this is a time of year that's very busy. Today's December 1st, and you know, you can almost feel it in the air, like, all right, get ready. We got a lot of work to do. But this is a time, and we're going to hear this on Sunday, to really try to grow closer to Jesus
Christ
during the upcoming few weeks.
You know, it is a busy time, and there's a lot that is happening. And even for me, I'm thinking, oh, my day is so busy today.
Right.
You know, 'cause I'm going down to Immaculata for the carol night tonight, and we'll be broadcasting that at 7 p.m. tonight. You know, so the carol night at Immaculata. Mm. You know, I'm sitting there thinking a long day, but then the other piece to that becomes, wait a second, I'm going to have a good drive out to Immaculata.
Yeah.
I'm going to have time where I can reflect, you know, that I can do these things that are necessary to prepare. And so what I would say is find those times, find those things that work to be able to accomplish both.
How about this? As you're driving to the mall to do your shopping, turn on Holy Spirit Radio.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, one of the great blessings of the long commute that I have is I get to listen, I get to pray, and I get to listen to Catholic radio.
That's right.
I was just going to say that.
On the way home so many times from the station, I put on Holy Spirit Radio, and I listen to some of the great programs that we have here, and then I'll turn the radio off for a little bit and, you know, respond to the Lord with what I... But this station has helped me so much to grow closer to the Lord. Because it gives me ideas. I get so many great ideas from listening to Catholic radio.
One of my favorite times to be driving is the 3 o'clock hour. And so,
powerful.
You know, you certainly get the prayers and the rosary, and, you know, that becomes extraordinarily powerful. One of the things is that we started probably about a month or two ago is we actually do on every Friday the Stations of the Cross throughout the year. So we used to be that we just did during Lent, but there's no reason to just do that during Lent.
Exactly.
And so now every Friday do that. And that's the full hour on Fridays at 3. Take a drive, you know, if you're driving at that time, the holy hour, great time for reflection. So you have a lot of great shows that you can actually sit and listen to, learn things from, whatever, you know, but there are also shows where you can reflect.
Yeah. Right. It's a great mix. It's a great mix. Dave, do you have any favorites that you listen to?
Holy Hour.
Yeah.
O'clock hour.
Called Communion. Yes, love Called Communion.
My favorite show is Spirit in the Morning.
Yeah.
I don't get to listen too much because I work during the...
I'm glad you said that. Me too. But I was going to say, I mean, for the Holy Hour, many of our listeners who are Catholic and, you know, devoutly Catholic, and that the Holy Hour is not just we picked 3 o'clock on this day.
Right.
And there's church tradition and, you know, for having the Holy
Hour.
Hour
of Mercy. That's when our Lord died on the cross.
Yeah. And we were upholding that tradition. I mean, maybe other, I don't know about other affiliates, but we have
holy hour.
I love,
as it should be.
I love that holy hour, and there have been times that I've been driving, and I just happen to turn it on during the 3 o'clock hour, and I'm just taken to a different place. And what a blessing that we're able to do that on Holy Spirit Radio.
Well, I listen to Sunrise on the way up as well, you know, and Anna is so good, and Matt Swaim, and so, I mean, I kind of get warmed up. It's I feel like I'm in the bullpen.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know? So what's the news today, Anna? And she comes on, so if it comes up, I mean, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that.
You know, it's finding your favorites and, you know, and then taking it down and making it part of your day. You know, and it's not just radio, though. It's in everything we do. It's our actions that we take. And then the other piece to it that, you know, I kind of always, you know, reflect upon, and we had a lot of discussion at the start of the show. I think Catholic Hipster was really great at guiding you in how do you do different things, and his book's fantastic. But the other piece to that that I would also bring is, you know, start reflecting on what others, what's going on in others' people's lives or minds, and start seeing from their perspective. And we want to win people's minds and hearts over.
That's right.
You know, you really need to concentrate on what they, you know, what they're feeling.
Exactly. Well, briefly, I was going to say, you know, we are an EWTN affiliate, and I do watch TV, the EWTN channel, more and more when I can. And I know, and I see the CEO just recently, and I'm going to do a little pitch. I mean, you know, this is the time of giving. So, but EWTN, and we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the network, and we wouldn't be here if it weren't for our faithful listeners. So, yeah, but I mean, and not only radio, my point is, but TV. There are a lot of good shows on the network, on the television network.
And I would even say beyond that, though, there's things you can find, you can discover. You know, one of the things that, you know, one of the shows that's going to be coming up is Augustinian Institute puts out, you know, kind of like play type things, and they have one that's they have a new one coming up that's going to be aired during Advent, and I'll be sharing more about that as we move towards the premiere.
But we love our listeners.
Before we run out of time, Frank, remind us one more time of the special program tonight.
Yes, Immaculata University. It's their Carol Night, which is a tradition that's been going on for a long time. And so, you know, we have the privilege that we'll be broadcasting from there. So I'll be down there, and we'll, you know, it's actually really beautiful because it's in the rotunda. And they pack it in with people. You wouldn't believe the number of people. Of course, I'd get a front row seat. But, the fact is, it's beautiful. And the way we're going to mic it is so you're going to hear that music coming up through the rotunda. Yeah. And it should be beautiful.
You cut your teeth last year.
Perfect.
Kind of practiced for it, right?
That's right.
Can't wait. It's going to be exciting. Remember, Advent begins on Sunday. That's 7 p.m. tonight. What a great way to get ready for Advent. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Monday on the show, we're going to be joined by Kate Wicker and Mark Poletino from the Malvern Retreat House. Remember what I always tell you, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating